So the pile on the floor was making progress, getting smaller. Then I added some stuff to it. We're going to do that today. Then the other pile, the pile of Rocky Mountain Collegians, where I'm going to make fun of college students. It's getting larger. It's growing. It's pulsating. That's what she said. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Either if I could learn how to talk. And don't forget the ever-present and the most likely third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Welcome, my friends and my enemies, and people who are completely ambivalent and oblivious to me. Welcome, all of you, to the Stating the Obvious podcast, brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society. This is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. Yes, there are a lot of them out there. And I'm lifting weights right now as I record this. It's probably not a very good idea, but I'm doing it anyway. Sometimes I'm a master of doing things that are not a really good idea. Speaking of not really good ideas, finished up the last of the James Bond movies today. Not the last, but the last of the ones I'm going to watch, which was Casino Royale. I'm not watching Skyfall again, because I just watched that one recently. It was so terrible that I was pretty traumatized by it, the whole thing. But, the cliches were just ridiculous, you know? It's like, okay, the bad guys are coming to kill us, so let's go to this abandoned house that I used to live in and all this other shit. It's just like, my God, this is fucking terrible. Who wrote this shit? Casino Royale was, of course, the first James Bond movie with the new guy whose name I don't remember. Did a really good job in it, though. They, of course, made it a lot angstier so as to appeal to the medicated generation, which has a lot of angst in it, you know, and they think they're all so misunderstood and so tough at the same time. And so I can see the purpose of the revamping. And overall, Casino Royale was actually a really good Bond movie. The only parts of it I didn't like were the absolutely terrible romance scenes between Bond and Vesper. And Vesper, I mean, the chick who plays Vesper, she's reasonably attractive when she had on enough makeup, but you could tell that she wasn't really that attractive without the makeup. But the romance scenes and the corny writing. Oh, James, when I look into your eyes, I feel born again. Well, but if you were born again, wouldn't you be naked? Ha ha ha. Like, oh, God, it was fucking killing me. And there were so many of these. This was the one and only out of the entire James Bond series, for those of you just listening to Stating the Obvious for the first time in your life, I went back and I was watching every James Bond film in sequence, just to do it, just to watch the Bond films. And I've been talking about them here and there. All right, I'm going to stop lifting weights. Hang on. All right. That's interfering with my ability to talk. Like, and like I need anything else to interfere with my ability to talk. Fuck. I can barely pull it off now. Pull it off, get it? Oh, all right. Anyway. So I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, James Bond. I was watching all the James Bond movies. This is the first and only one where I actually fast-forwarded through sections of the movie. Because the little corny romance scenes where, oh, they're being so whatever the fuck you want to call it, with each other. It's like, I cannot fucking stand this. I cannot fucking stand it. Anyhow, other than that, it was really good. It was quite a good Bond movie. I would say Casino Royale is definitely, I mean, I would easily put it in one of the top five Bond movies. All right, anyways, what else do I need to, oh, yes! Randy, how far are we into the show? Good. Don't want to mess up my mojo by talking about the topics too soon. Anyway, I am the Great One himself. This is Stating the Obvious podcast brought to you by Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the internet. If you want to send us email, you can send that to God. That's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. In the control room over there on the other side of the glass is the lovely and adorable Randy. Today is February 14th, 2014, Valentine's Day. Oh, joy. I know Randy's excited to be here, right? Doing the recording? Of course you are. Mm-hmm. Where else would you be? No, your boyfriend doesn't want to spend money on you. You just sit there and push buttons. All right. I did a podcast. I did an anarchy moment about Valentine's Day. So we don't need to talk about that. That's already done. The one thing I did forget to mention in that podcast, having of course said that we don't need to talk about that because it's done, I will now talk about that because with me it's never done and I can't shut the fuck up. The one thing I forgot to say about Valentine's Day is also when you go to these restaurants and you pay these inflated costs for food, what you're actually paying for is to help them get the shit out of their freezers or refrigerators that isn't selling. So let's say, for example, you own a restaurant and you got in a bunch of fish, catfish. So normally you sell the catfish for $12. The catfish isn't moving very well, and so it's sitting in your freezer and it's getting old and it's taking up space. You want to get rid of it. So what you do is when a holiday comes up, Valentine's Day and Mother's Day are the two big ones, because Valentine's Day and Mother's Day are the two holidays that people who work in the restaurant business hate, because that's when everybody comes in and yada, yada, yada. So what you do is you take all this catfish that's getting freezer burned in your freezer and taking up space, and you make your Valentine's Day special catfish. And instead of charging $12 for it, you charge $18 for it. And because it's the Valentine's Day special, and because it costs more than normal, all the dumbass boys out there who think that, oh, if I spend money on a girl, she'll have sex with me, will buy this shit, and you get it out of your freezer. So that's something you, as a consumer, need to know about the restaurant business. And this is an opportunity for me to yet again plug the book Waiter Rant, which is written by a guy whose name I don't remember. But the book is called Waiter Rant. And he wrote a second book, something about tipping or something. It was terrible. It was horrible. Do not read it. It will hurt your eyeballs. It was fucking terrible. But the book Waiter Rant was fantastic. Highly, highly, highly recommend that you read that book. All right. Let us. I like lettuce. Lettuce is good for you. Not the iceberg lettuce, though. Iceberg lettuce has no nutritional value whatsoever. Get lettuce that has actual nutritional value. Iceberg lettuce is disgusting. Let us move along to some actual content. We are 9 minutes into the show, so it would be about time for me to actually start talking about something of value. Get the computer keyboard the fuck out of my way. And here we go. Now, I mentioned this briefly in a, I think the anarchy moment you're going to hear, no, I think it was the Valentine's anarchy moment. I was on campus, CSU campus, and I picked up a USA Today and a New York Times. So this is some stuff I'm going to read from USA Today and New York Times. And unlike much of the stuff that I read, which is from 2009 and shit like that, this stuff is current. And this shit is hilarious. And the fact that so many of you get your news and information from the kind of people who are writing in this, in these newspapers, it kills me. This is funny. There's a article in here. I didn't actually read it, but it's about some kind of Jewish dating site. And then, it's called jdate.com. And it has like some promo memes or whatever for them. And I love this one. It says, "More Jews than a Chinese restaurant on Christmas." Oh, that is fucking funny. Some of you are out there going, "Jews in a Chinese restaurant on Christmas. I don't get it. I don't understand, Martha. What's funny about that?" All right, anyway. I dated a Jewish chick for a while. It was scary, but they're hot. Jewish chicks are often very physically attractive. This one was. All right, this is an article. This is written by somebody called Stacy Cowley. It's called "Retail Businesses That Try Crowdfunding Face Some Skepticism." Now, I've talked before about my opinion of crowdfunding, or as I prefer to call it, cyber begging, and how much it drives me crazy, especially when people who own businesses go cyber begging for money for their business. I only want to read a couple of paragraphs out of this. The entire article is fairly long, especially for a newspaper article, which, you know, of course, is catering to the stupidest people on the planet because it's a newspaper. Anyhow, here we go. "One problem," entrepreneurs say, "is the perception that local businesses are more financially successful than they really are." Open quote. "We are," open quote. It's like I'm using my voice recognition software. I've been doing a lot of writing lately with the voice recognition software. And so when you do that, you have to say open quote, then give the quote, and then say close quote. All right. Quote, "We are doing very well, but like most small businesses, we carry heavy debt. After 10 years, we're still paying our other employees more than we pay ourselves. We don't have a huge cushion to dive into," said Miss Josepher of the Chocolate Room. Now, after 10 years, if your business still isn't making enough profit for you to have paid off your debts, maybe you made a bad decision about what kind of business to go into. I think this is a symptom of the entire concept that's permeating our society in the financial mindset. Ow, I'm serious. Ow! Randy, I'm having a fucking foot cramp. Ow! No, I'm not making this up. Jesus Christ. Anyway, on a stick. Ow! Damn it! All right, that's what I get for lifting weights before the show, apparently. What? I am drinking water. Fuck. You're not my mother. Mommy, make it stop. Ow. Those of you listening to this podcast, aren't you glad that I don't edit this thing? Fucking hell. I am having a foot cramp from hell. Jesus. Fuck. All right. Anyway. What was I bitching about before I had a foot cramp? Oh. Damn it. Fell over sideways. We have this idea in our society that borrowing money and having all of this debt is not that big of a deal. I mean, look at that. Somewhere in here, there's a thing about the government raising the debt limit again or something. Ow, we'll find it in a minute. Yes, I... Thank you. I am massaging it. Do you not see me standing here doing tree pose, massaging my foot? Thank you. And I mean, look, if you're going to start a business, I understand starting a business incurs startup cost. But after 10 fucking years, you've got to be able to make a goddamn profit. This thing where people start a business and 10 years later, you still can't pay yourself more than you pay your employees, who are probably making minimum wage, then you're doing it wrong. And it's not wrong in some kind of moral sense. You know, it's not like It's not like these people have murdered someone or something, but I mean, financially speaking, this is what drives me crazy about the fucking businesses, cyber begging. If you're offering a product or a service, you have to price your product or service in such a way that you can fucking recoup the cost and make enough money for you to live and pay your bills. And this is why it always drives me crazy when all these fucking nonprofits and all these white trash pieces of shit out there always want stuff free or cheap. For those of you new to the show, I'm a photographer and I hear this shit all the time. Will you do free photography for me? Well, no, fuck you. I have to actually fucking make money. I don't get a fucking welfare check like you do. Or I'm not a nonprofit organization where a bunch of companies throw money at me like you are. And photography is just one of the things I do for money. But the point is, all the things I do for money, I have to make a fucking profit. And I have to price myself accordingly. And when I see shit like this, where we've been in business 10 years and we don't have any money and we can't pay ourselves, and that's why we're cyber begging. Well, then you're a fucking idiot and your business should go out of business. After 10 fucking years, if you're not making a profit, I mean, you're fucked. You're stupid and you're an idiot. The other paragraph says this. Who's saying this? Okay. It's a quote from somebody named Miss Leafblad. I don't know who Miss Leafblad is, and it doesn't matter, but here's what she says. Quote, one of the reasons we went with Kickstarter is that their mission is about funding creative projects. We approached it as a community engagement tool. Yes, you're looking for money, but you're also looking to build a community around your idea. Unquote. No, you should not be building a community around your idea. So I shouldn't throw that away. I'm going to need that for the show notes. Hold on. Yes. You should not be building a fucking community around your idea. You should be building customers and clients who are willing to pay you what you're worth. That's what you should be building, because if you do that, you don't have to go on the fucking internet and embarrass yourself by cyber begging. But of course, there is no embarrassment in cyber begging anymore because everybody does it. It's totally fucking cool. All right, what do we got here? What am I going to bitch about now? Oh, this. New York Times business page. Make sure there's nothing else in here I need to do. Toyota recalls newest Prius over software. Tokyo Motor is recalling all of the 1.9 million newest generation Prius vehicles it has sold worldwide because of a programming error that could cause their gas-electric hybrid systems to shut down, the automaker said Wednesday. Toyota's decision to issue such a wide-ranging recall, made voluntary, is a marked change from its approach 5 years ago when it resisted cooperating with regulators looking into problems of unintended acceleration in its vehicles. Now, I want to point out, I did a podcast about the Toyota Prius unintended acceleration. You can go back, you can find that, and you can listen to it. I remember this, people saying, yes, the floor mat forced my car to accelerate and I couldn't stop it. It was fucking hilarious. It was pathetic. It showed just how stupid Prius drivers are. I fucking hate people who drive Priuses. Randy, I also forgot to fill my water bottle before we started. So next time, if you would remind me to do that, Mom, that'd be great. I am not responsible for my own actions. No, there needs to be a motherfucking goddamn law. I should not have to fill my own water bottle. That is discrimination. There should be a fucking law. All right, anyway. Wah-wah. That's what I'm saying. Wah-wah. And then, the recall also underscores the growing complexity of today's vehicles, which are increasingly laden with technology and electronic systems that can leave them more susceptible to problems. Really, no shit. Remember the good, well, some of you don't remember the good old days. You know, back when we had to walk uphill 25 miles to get water and shit. When automobiles were mechanical, right? When you pushed on the gas pedal, it pulled a cable which activated a, what's the technical term for this? Shit. It activated an actuator which opened and closed, thus controlling the amount of fuel injected into the carburetor and controlling how fast the car goes. Now, when you push on the gas pedal, all it does is send a signal to the fucking computer, which does shit. And yes, we're going to see more and more software. Because remember, you know, a software problem on your computer ain't necessarily that big of a deal. Software problem on an automobile can be a really big deal. It's interesting, too, how if you get in the automobile drunk, you're dangerous. But when you get in an automobile that's controlled by a computer, they could go haywire at any moment. That's okay. And there's also the problem with the software is, as some people have shown now, there's internet videos about this. And if I think about it, I'll fucking link those in the show notes, showing how you can actually remote control an automobile. There's ways to, and they showed how you can do this. You take a CD or CD, DVD, whatever, and you can put the software on there. You put it in the car's CD player, and just like a virus, it will insert itself into the car's computer, and then you can take control of the automobile remotely. And of course, like any piece of computer hardware, software, this can be hacked. This is going to be hacked. Somewhere down the road, this is going to cause problems. Can you imagine? For those of you who, you know, think they hate us for our freedom and you're terrified that there's going to be another 9/11 and you like having strange people touching 8-year-old boys' penises in airports and calling it security. And also, for those of you who are afraid of them terrorists, can you imagine all the automobiles in downtown New York having their systems hacked simultaneously and somebody just pushing the button that tells those automobiles to accelerate full speed? I mean, the damage that you can do. But of course, we in Western society, and especially in the United States, have become so dependent on technology and computers to do everything for us, and have become so convinced that having computers do everything for us is the best way to go. You know, the idea that this computer-controlled automobile is superior to an automobile which functions purely on a mechanical basis is something that you're never going to be able to get people to move away from, that because we have this mindset that anything that comes off a computer, it must be better, right? This is why people think MP3s are better than albums. And this is why people believe anything they see on the internet, because, well, it's on the internet, it's on a computer, it must be true. This is why you can create an Excel spreadsheet and punch some numbers into it and make the wrong shit come out, but people will still believe it because, well, it's on a computer. Anything that comes from a computer, people assume it must be right because computers don't make mistakes. And at some point, this will be our downfall. Oh God, this is hilarious. And suddenly, now we start getting into longer... Okay, let me finish this one up. This is the last bit from the New York Times, and it's going to be a bit of a long one. This is fucking hilarious. Batten down the hatches. UN report says progress for women is unequal. And did you expect that a report from the UN would say anything other than women are oppressed and patriarchy and rape culture and blah, blah, blah? Did you really for a moment expect anything different? I'll be right back. Okay, that had to happen. By the way, I discovered today that squirrels will eat Oreo cookies. There's a squirrel in the backyard, and I put a Oreo cookie on my, what do you call that thing, table. Not only did the squirrel eat it, but it was interesting to watch the squirrel problem solving how to get onto the table. He ended up climbing down the fence and out onto a lawn chair that I have hanging on the fence and then hopping over onto the table. But anyway, it has nothing to do with poor little women. Poor little women. Oh, so oppressed. They're so unequal. Oh, patriarchy. So let me get back to patriarchy. All right. United Nations. 20 years after a landmark United Nations summit meeting in Cairo called on countries around the world to allow women greater control over their health and destiny, women worldwide have fewer children, are less likely to die of childbirth, and have made great strides in literacy, according to a major report released Wednesday by the World Body. The World Body. Interesting. I didn't know the world had a body. All right. So they had a meeting. Oh, they had a meeting. And here's statism at its finest. We should talk about statism and anarcho-capitalism at some point, right? This is an anarcho-capitalist podcast. There's statism at its finest. Well, a bunch of people from the government had a meeting. Now they're going to make things better. And you'll notice that, as always, the people from the governments who have these meetings will take credit for the good things. But, of course, all the bad things will be blamed on capitalism and patriarchy. But a closer look at the report's numbers reveals marked disparities. For instance, in the poorest communities, women's status, maternal death, child marriage, and other indicators of a woman's well-being have seen little progress in the last 20 years, the report concludes. So, in the last 20 years, there has been little progress. Well, but they had a meeting. A bunch of politicians showed up and had a meeting. How could there not be any progress? Oh, that's right. Patriarchy. In low and middle income countries, for instance, pregnancy and childbirth are the leading causes of death among young women ages 15 to 19. Women continue to be paid less, and they are more likely to work in jobs that are less secure and with fewer benefits, according to the report by the United Nations Population Fund. Yes, and how can we blame all of this on men? Well, let's do it. Let's go for this. All right. Women in low and middle income countries. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but those of us who are not politically correct are going to refer to these as poor countries. So, women in poor countries are more likely to die while pregnant or in childbirth than women in rich countries. Well, let's see. What kind of healthcare system do you think a poor country would have as compared to a rich country? What kind of sanitation, running water, indoor plumbing, electricity, other infrastructure such as ambulances, roads, nutritious food, heating, air conditioning, insect repellents? Gee, how do you think poor countries measure up to rich countries on that scale? Well, probably pretty goddamn shitty. So the fact that there are more women dying from pregnancy and childbirth in poor countries than in rich countries tells you that living in poor countries sucks. Those of us who are ANCAPs know this. This is why we want the poor countries to not be poor anymore. However, if those poor countries are not poor, then how would Apple Computer be able to get people in those countries to work for a dollar a day making cell phones? Well, they wouldn't. And that would not benefit the corporations. And if the corporations aren't benefiting, who's going to provide the infrastructure for the government to spy on people? Who's going to build cell phones that have back doors in them? Who's going to build missiles and airplanes and tanks and machine guns? So it sounds like the government needs the corporations to provide the government with the tools it uses to murder people. The corporations need the poor countries, along with the prison system, to provide cheap labor to build all of the things the government uses to oppress people. So maybe, just maybe, maybe the state doesn't want poor countries to stop being poor. Maybe that's why women in poor countries are dying from pregnancy and childbirth, because they live in poor countries and they're kept poor by those of you who vote Democrat and Republican. Have you ever thought of that? No, you haven't, because you're stupid motherfuckers, because you're statist, because you're 99%ers, because you're busy slobbering Obama's cock and swallowing his cum. You can't think for yourself. And of course, women continue to be paid less. Yes, and women deserve to be paid less. Don't shut the fuck up, okay? Unlike many of you out there who are on welfare, I've had jobs. I've owned businesses, okay? Women are paid less because women are worth less. First of all, they get pregnant and can't come to work. Second of all, especially today, and here's the thing, we can totally differentiate between first world countries and third world countries. In first world countries, women are paid less because women get softball college degrees like hyphenated studies and English literature and sociology, which are all completely fucking worthless, and journalism, but you can't tell them that. Women spend more time getting pregnant and they can't come to work. Women, again, I've had jobs. Anytime a woman comes into the workplace, the first thing you have to do is lower the standards, lower the performance standards for the women. I was in the military. Women came in the military. Did they do the same PT test men did? Well, no, of course not. You have to have lower standards for the women. I'm not going to fucking list, but I'm just, trust me on this. Unlike many of you, I've actually had jobs, and I can tell you, when women show up, the first thing that happens is you have to lower the standards because they can't fucking do it. That's why in first world countries, women get paid less. Now, in third world countries, and I know a third world country is politically incorrect, and that's why I'm using it, because my goal here is to offend you. In third world countries, the reason women get paid less is because in many of these countries, if not most, men have an obligation to provide for their families. Women don't. In a lot of countries, Girl Writes What did a really good video on this a while back. If you go over to her YouTube channel and try to find it, I don't know what it's called, but anyhow, the point is it's out there. She did this, where she talked about several countries in particular. I want to say they were Muslim countries, but I could be wrong. But the point is, in those cultures, the man, if he has a family, is obligated to pay for his family. Wow, what a concept. We used to have that in the United States. Women, on the other hand, the women who work, have no obligation to use the money to pay for their families. They get, on Stefan Molyneux's show the other day, he was talking to a guy from Sweden who was talking about how in Sweden you could basically be a woman and just spend your life making babies and get paid for it. So women, when they do make money, have no obligation to spend their money taking care of their children, because either, in some countries, the man is taking care of the children and paying for them and taking care of the woman and paying for her and paying for the household and paying for the food and all this other stuff. And then in other third world countries like Sweden, the state is taking care of the women. And so again, if the woman has money, she doesn't have to spend it feeding the kid because the state feeds the kid. She doesn't have to spend it providing shelter for herself because the state provides a shelter. Women should make less money than men. And then, of course, I'll save the fact that whenever you go out on a date, women always expect the man to pay. It's Valentine's Day. There's a lot of men out there right this moment as I am recording this. There are a shit ton of men spending money on women. That's money those women don't have to spend themselves. So considering that men spend so much of their money on women in the process of dating, on days like Valentine's Day, and of course, in the process of paying child support, alimony, and all this other stuff, considering how much of a man's income is transferred to a woman via either his own stupidity, also known as the dating, or via the state, also known as alimony and child support, men should make more money than women. It's just that fucking simple. And of course, there's the fact that, contrary to what you women believe, women cannot do twice as much work as a man in half the time. I know you think you can, but you can't. Okay? Let me go back to reading. Quote, men have to change, unquote. Babatunde Ostomostis, the fund's executive director, told reporters here, quote, they have to accept gender equality, unquote. Again, what have I said about women in the past? Women are essentially rocks. Women cannot change or alter themselves to adapt to their surroundings. This is why a woman comes into the workplace. The first thing you have to do is change the standards to accommodate the women. Women go into the military. Oh, we have to have a different PT test for the women because they can't perform to the standards of the men. Right? The woman comes into the workplace. She sees a calendar on the wall that has girls in bikinis. She gets offended. So what has to happen? Because she cannot adapt to the fact that men in the workplace like looking at pretty girls in bikinis, the workplace has to be changed to accommodate here, to accommodate her. And here we see the same thing from this fucking idiot. I don't even know if this is a man or a woman or a fucking transgender or what. Babatunde Ostomostis or whatever the fuck his name is. Its name, I don't care. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. I have no desire to know how to pronounce it. Men have to change. Exactly. See, women are getting paid less money because they're worth less money. Therefore, men need to change. Again, women can't change. Women are rocks. Women are incapable of changing. Women should be able to get their degrees in Hispanic American studies with this sub-minor, whatever, in English literature, and get paid the same amount of money as a man who goes into chemical engineering. Because men need to change. It's not women who need to change. No, no, no. Women are perfect, just like they are. They are little princess snowflakes. All right, I could fucking beat that to death. I could spend hours. I have spent hours on that very topic. I have. Holy shit! Are we really that far into the podcast? Wow. Alright. Let me go back to reading. One study cited by Mr. Ostomostis of Nigeria said that... I'm just making up names on this shit. Just go with it. One study cited by Mr. Ostomostis of Nigeria said that worldwide, 1 in 3 women reported being physically or sexually abused. Oh my God, I am so fucking sick of hearing about the rape. Well, God damn it. Fucking... First of all, we all know these statistics are bullshit because how are you defining physically or sexually abused? I mean, that could be anything. Especially for women, because remember... Women believe if you look at a woman, that is rape. There are some women out there who classify being looked at as being raped. Well, okay, so if all these women are being raped, and if all of these politicians in power in the government care about these women so much, why the fuck aren't they doing something about it? I mean, you would think if 1/3 of all the women on the planet Earth are being raped, you would think somebody would notice that happening and maybe do something about it. There's all these police officers with guns and the authority to kill people all over the world. And they're there to protect you. And yet all these women are getting raped. I mean, how many fucking laws and pigs and cops and government goons with guns do we need? And that's the whole point of this, is to say, see, women are still getting raped. We need more guns. We need more police officers. We need more laws. If 1 in 3 women are really getting raped, maybe that means those of you who are supposedly protecting these women, the politicians, the police officers, maybe it means you're incompetent. Have you thought of that? Of course you haven't thought of that. You're a fucking statist. You can't think. Ooh, hold on. Speaking of girls, for those of you new to the show, there's a window here in the studio, and it overlooks an area close to that's not what I want to say. It overlooks. See, my brain is gone. Frequently, college girls walk by. That's all you need to know. And many of them are highly fuckable. And so I get distracted easily when that happens. All right. Especially when they're wearing skirts. Yes. Wah, wah. Let me get back to this. So anyway, that 1 in 3 women reported being sexually or physically abused. Really, so 1 in 3 women reported this to who? What were the criteria for determining if she's physically or sexually abused? And if you politicians care about these women so much, why aren't you doing anything about it? Well, men, the patriarchy. Oh yeah, all these men. So hold on. So what are we... So these men who are doing all of this abuse, well, how many of them are Christians, right? Well, no, Christians don't abuse women. Well, they must. How many of them are Muslims? How many of them are Hindus? How many of them are Jews? How many of those men were raised by women? I mean, I've been down this road before. So there's all these men out there raping all these women so that 1/3 of all the women on the planet have been either sexually or physically abused. Well, and of course, we know this is done by men. We don't even have to notice how that's not even talked about, because that's just assumed. Of course, it's men. All men are rapists. That's the patriarchy. But all of these men were raised by women. So their mothers never taught them how to not rape women. Their mothers never taught them how to not beat women. Their religions never taught them to not rape or physically abuse. Their public school systems never explained to them why raping and physically abusing is a bad idea. Their friends around them don't frown on their activities. You know, their friends who were raised by women and went to public school don't frown on them raping and abusing women. The colleges they went to never mentioned raping and abusing women is not cool. I mean, how did all of these men... You know, the idea that these men are all rapists and abusers in this vacuum. No, these people came from someplace. There's something that made these men willing to rape and abuse women. It's called the state. The state has come along and said, "Why, yes, violence is perfectly okay. Look how we solve our problems. We use violence." So men see this and they're like, "Hey, look, violence. If it works for Obama, why won't it work for me?" Anyway, let me move on. I got a lot to read and I am running out of time. Imagine that. I'm running out of time. Blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, if I hadn't been so busy having a foot cramp, I lost like, what, 17 minutes there screeching about my foot. Oh, my foot hurts. Wah. All right. Sound like a fucking woman. My friend, patriarchy. What? I'm just going to start using patriarchy as an excuse for everything. Why not? The feminists do. All right. Yes, Randy, thank you. She's saying get the fuck on with it. Yes, Mom. In Asia, a separate study last year found that nearly half of the 10,000 men interviewed reported using physical and or sexual violence against a female partner, while 1/4 of them said they had raped a woman or girl, with the vast majority saying they faced no prosecution. Well, welcome to Asia. That's great. I mean, it's one thing to for feminists, feminazis, and femistatists to make up false rape statistics. Okay. It's another thing for men to actually rape women. But when you have a fourth of the men you interview dumb enough to actually tell you, why, yeah, I've raped women, I beat the shit out of them too. I guess they wouldn't do it in that voice though, because they're Asian. Wow. I mean, wow, just wow. Look, I'm a feminist now. Inside joke, you won't get it. I mean, how do you even respond to that? Why? How? Asians are supposed to be smart. Smart people don't go, yeah, I raped women. All right, anyway. So according to these men, were dumb enough to say, of course, then again, it's Asia. Over there, raping or beating your woman, not a crime. I mean, because they're so enlightened, right? They're ancient civilizations. China's been around for a long time. They invented all kinds of stuff. They've had communism. They're a socialist country. They build iPhones. It's a wonderful place. They're so enlightened over there. That's why their men, one quarter of their men, are not afraid to come right out and say, yep, I rape bitches. Because they are so enlightened in those Asian countries. If only we were more like them. It cited another survey in the Democratic Republic. The Democratic Republic of Congo. Any country called a Democratic Republic should scare the shit out of you. Oh, wait. We're a Democratic Republic in the United States. And I've just proven my point. Where one in three men reported having engaged in sexual violence. What is sexual violence? I mean, again, what exactly does that mean? And who are the one in three men who are stupid enough to admit it? But again, over there, you can probably smack the shit out of a woman and nobody cares, right? Because in these third world countries where women are dying in childbirth and dying while they're pregnant, which are really poor and don't have infrastructures or modern technology or running water or anything else, it's okay to beat the shit out of women. So, yeah, there it is. The gains were most striking in education. In a majority of countries, there was gender parity in primary education, though there were abiding gaps in secondary schools and college. And of course, this is not true in countries like the United States. All right, in the United States, more women than men are going to college. More women than men are getting college degrees at this time. I don't know about other countries, and I honestly don't really give a shit. If you care, look up the fucking statistics. Find out for yourself. But here in the United States, and as I said previously, women are just getting degrees in shitty stuff they can't get paid for. That's why more women are getting college degrees, but they don't make as much as men because they're getting shit in, you know, they're getting degrees. If I slow down, I can talk. Deep breath. They're getting their degrees in shit like social work and journalism. And holy shit, I'm running out of time on the podcast. Thank you for the warning, Randy. There's no way I can finish this off. All right, we're going long. Yes, I know you hate me. I know you hate me. It's okay. We are going long. Abiding gaps in secondary schools and college, which is, okay, may be true in third world countries, I don't know. May be true in every country other than the United States, I don't know. But in the United States, more women are getting degrees than men. All right. Maternal mortality fell by 47% over the last 20 years, though, the women pointed out, 800 women continue to die every day while giving birth. Okay, and the fact that out of all the people on the planet Earth, only 800 are dying each day while giving birth is a pretty goddamn good number. And of course, where are these women dying? And how do they know these people are dying? Is this, again, it's really exactly 800. It just happens. How were these statistics gathered? From what countries were they gathered? How are these statistics analyzed, right? Did they take all of this over 1 year and average it out? Is this from a week? Is this from 10 years? It's convenient that it came out to exactly 800. I mean, just exactly, not 799, not 801, and not, if you averaged over time, say 800.3 women a day, because if you took your statistics for a year, no, it came out to exactly 800. See how that number sounds so scary? But if you use just a little bit of critical thinking, you can recognize that this number is not true. It's not fucking true. There is no way to know how many people die per day on the planet Earth in childbirth, because we do not have access to the going-ons of every single person on the planet. There are people who die, and whoever's compiling these statistics doesn't know about it. You fucking people out there have got to stop believing every fucking statistic that comes your way, especially when it's a statistic that's unobtainable. For example, let's compare this to what I just said about more women are getting college degrees than men. This is an obtainable statistic. Colleges keep records of the students. All the colleges in the United States keep records of the students. And this stuff is available. And it's going to be fairly accurate. It's certainly not, by any stretch, going to be 100% accurate. I would never be dumb enough to make that statement. But it's going to be a good 95% accurate. Whereas statistics for how many women have died per day in childbirth around the entire planet Earth, those are statistics which are completely unobtainable. They are unobtainable. There is no fucking way to ever know that with a degree of accuracy. You've got to learn the difference between, well, there's no difference between statistics and lying. All statistics are lies. I've talked about this a lot in the past. But you've got to learn the difference between statistics that are obtainable versus statistics that are simply not obtainable. Yeah, hold the music. We'll do the music at the end normal, but we are going long. Global fertility rates fell by 23% between 1990-2010. Reflecting rising education, life expectancy, and access to contraception. Really, fertility rates... Oh, okay, all right, that makes a little more sense. Never mind. My brain was confused. Again, though, that's a fairly unobtainable statistic because you're talking about fertility rates around the world. Again, just as you can't access the information about who's dying in childbirth, you can't completely access the information about fertility. Just not going to happen. All right. The report concluded, quote, progress has been unequal and fragmented, close quote. Of course it's unequal, because women are not equal to men, and nobody is equal to anybody else. Equality does not exist because no one is equal, but of course it's also unequal because patriarchy. If we don't have inequality for women, what are the feminists going to whine about? My God, they might have to go out and actually work for a living if they didn't have inequality to complain about. The changes have come at a time when the world has prospered overall, though women in the poorest countries, along with poor women in some richer countries, have not seen their lives improve, the report said. I wonder what rich country we're talking about, where those poor women, the women who just can't get their free abortions, you know, they just have to be satisfied with their alimony payments, their child support payments, their WIC payments, their food stamps, their welfare, and their special privileges given to them by the government. Gosh, they're just not getting enough equality in some of those rich countries. Oh, it's so terrible. Those mean men, it's the patriarchy. I wasn't really intending to turn this into a femistatist-centric podcast, but it just happened because this article showed up. I've been ripping on femistatists a lot lately. I'm trying to fucking stop and talk about anarcho-capitalism a little bit more and femistatism a little bit less. But femistate, God, Stefan Molyneux, I listened to one of his videos earlier this week, and oh God, it was one of those just brilliant, brilliant moments that Stefan says shit that is so, so important and thought provoking. Where some, a caller said, it came, called in and said, you know, what kind of culture or what kind of family environment creates a left-wing statist as opposed to a right-wing statist? And Stefan explained how left-wing statists come from matriarchal families, because in the matriarchy, where the woman runs everything, what is it women are concerned about? Women are concerned about, is everybody getting enough food? How do they feel? She's concerned with things happening inside the home, and she doesn't care that much about things happening outside the home. And that is the beautiful analogy to left-wing statism. You look at people who are left-wing statist, right? What do they care about? Well, how do we get free abortions? How do we get more food stamps? How do we get more welfare? How do we raise taxes on rich people? And what they don't care about is Obama murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots, because that's happening outside of the home. And the matriarchal society, the matriarchal family, the matriarchal culture is, because it is matriarchal, focused inward on the household, which is what women should do, is focus inward on the household. The man should focus outward. You know, to begin, let's go back, how many thousand times have I talked about this? Aristotle talking about the family. What did Aristotle say? The man brings the resources into the household. The woman manages the household. That's the way it's supposed to fucking work. Aristotle figured this shit out thousands of years ago. Femistatists still think it's patriarchy. Well, shut. Well, you know what? You want to prove to me it's not. It's patriarchy, and that you care so much. Why don't you, femistatists, start noticing the fact that Obama is murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots? Fucking impress me by pulling your heads out of your fucking cunts and getting your shit together. All right. Fucking rape culture, patriarchy. Fucking impress me by learning how to think. And as it was hilarious, because, you know, as Stefan Molyneux pointed out in this thing, he said, you'll notice there that feminism is left-wing statism. And I'm using the term left-wing statism. He didn't. He said left-wing or liberal or something like that. But you will, you know, and then a femistatist will say, no, but no, you are. You will never see the left-wing criticizing femistatism, and you will never see a right-wing femistatist. There is no such thing. There is absolutely fucking no such thing as a right-wing femistatist. There's lots of women who are statist. There's lots of women who are right-wing statist, but there is no such thing as a right-wing feminist. It doesn't happen. There's not one out there. So femistatism, feminism, feminazism is liberalism. Not sure how I even got on that topic. Patriarchy. That's it. Yes, patriarchy. Of course. What else could it be? All right. Wah, wah, wah. Oh, that's right. Because the lives have not improved. See, I'm getting back to the article. Quote, in conditions of structural poverty, the report said, quote, the threats to women's survival are especially acute due to the lack of access to health services, particularly sexual and reproductive health services, and the extreme physical burdens of food production, water supply, and unpaid labor that fall disproportionately on poor women. Wow. Just wow. Again, sorry, that's an inside joke. The nonsense contained in this paragraph. Again, you know, women don't have access to health services. Let's translate this into normal person talk. Women don't get enough free abortions. Women have to actually pay money for their own birth control. Oh my God, can you imagine how oppressive? You have to buy your own fucking birth control pills. The extreme physical burdens of food production, water supply, and unpaid labor. Wait. where in the world are women undergoing extreme burdens of food production and water supply? There's no fucking burden involved with water supply. You either have water nearby or you don't, right? And sorry, it's politically incorrect, but fuck you. It's like, why Ethiopia? Like, you're living in a fucking desert. Oh, you have to walk 25 miles uphill to get some fucking water? Well, you're living in a fucking desert. So why is it that food production and water supply and unpaid labor and all this stuff is falling on the poor women? Don't all these countries have governments? Don't the politicians care about these people? I mean, let's think about this. The state is present everywhere on the planet Earth right now. Everywhere you go, there is a government there that is cares about you and is raising you like cattle and all this other shit. And yet, all these women are being raped. All these women are being molested. All these women are being brutalized. All these women aren't being paid enough money. All these women have to walk uphill to get water. All these women are dying in childbirth. All these women, oh, they're burdened so much by producing food. If the politicians care so fucking much, why is all of this happening? This is the analogy I made 1,000 times. You hire a plumber. The plumber comes over. The plumber doesn't fucking unclog your sink, and the plumber leaves and sends you a bill. Why would you pay the plumber? The plumber hasn't fucking done what he's supposed to do in return for money. Yet with the state, nobody can figure it out. Oh, we elected a government. Well, the government isn't fucking doing anything, and yet what do? You keep paying your taxes, you keep voting for the government, you keep sucking Obama's cock, you keep talking about, well, without the government, who's gonna build the roads? Well, wait, there aren't any fucking roads. That's why these poor women are having to walk uphill 25 miles to get some fucking water while they're pregnant, and then they're falling down dead, and nobody can do anything about it because there ain't a fucking road or an ambulance or a hospital. But yet, the government is so wonderful, and without governments, who would build roads? But we have plenty of money to kill people in foreign countries with flying robots. We have plenty of money for the drug war. We have plenty of money for iPhones. What if everybody who bought a fucking iPhone sent that money to some third world country, to some woman who's walking 25 miles uphill to get water? But no, what's more important, that bitch or your fucking iPhone? You know, fuck that bitch, let her die. I need an iPhone. People fucking disgust me. The report repeatedly cites growing economic inequality. Yes, we must always repeatedly cite growing economic inequality, because by God, patriarchy and capitalism, those men have to change, and we've got to stop making profits, because profit is evil. So these countries where these women are all walking uphill 25 miles to get water, why don't they do a fucking Kickstarter fund? You think I'm joking? If all of you fucking left-wing statists out there, if you care so much about these poor women that walk 25 miles uphill and die in childbirth, instead of buying a fucking Prius that gets recalled because the software is fucked up, why don't you spend some money helping these women that you care about so much? That's right. Because you don't care. You don't give a flying fuck. You care about your iPhone. You care about how much attention you get on Facebook. You care about your hair extensions. You care about buying a new pair of shoes. But you don't want problems like this to be solved. Because problems like this are what give you power. Problems like this are what allow you to stand there and screech, patriarchy! Because if you don't have patriarchy, and you don't have rape culture, and you don't have every man a rapist, and you don't have men have to change, and you don't have food stamps and WIC and welfare and all this other shit, At some point, you would have to get off your ass and actually provide for yourself. And as a statist, that's what you can't do. And it's not just the femistatist, it's not just the female statist, it's not just statists who have vaginas. This is for all of you. Statist with a penis, tranny statist. Tranny statist. Oh my God, I love that term. Tranny statist. I got to do something with that. None of you can do jack shit for yourself. And this kind of crap is, this is the kind of blunt instrument that you attempt to use to bludgeon people who actually create and produce into submission. And this is, for those of you out there who are minarchist or who are full-fledged ANCAPs at this point, or are evaluating these ideas and thinking, do I want to make this transition? Does anarcho-capitalism make sense to me? Let me throw this at you. This just came to my head. So it may be a little disjointed, you know, unlike the rest of every podcast I've ever fucking made. God forbid. Disjointed. What the fuck, right? Part of making the leap to being an ANCAP is the ability to recognize this sort of thing for what it is. Right? This is an attempt at emotional blackmail. You know, quote, men have to change. They have to accept gender equality, unquote. This is an attempt by these statists who have all the power in the world. I mean, the United Nations and the governments of all these countries, they have all the power in the world to provide these citizens with health care, with roads, with ambulances, with electricity, with running water. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ on a stick. We can... The assorted governments of the United States can refine radioactive material, build nuclear submarines, put nuclear missiles in those submarines, and distribute them around the planet. Right? England, France, the United States, Russia can bring all of those resources to bear. Yet we can't get some fucking bottled water to some poor people in Ethiopia. And you have to be able to look at this and recognize when the politicians say shit like this, they're trying to emotionally blackmail you into feeling bad so that you will not notice that the politicians are focused on shit like nuclear missiles, killing people with drones, the war on drugs. Can you imagine? Can you fucking imagine if all the money, the vehicles, the fuel, the resources, the people, if all the money the United States alone spends on the war on drugs, if all those resources were devoted to getting bottled water to people in poor countries? All of this is emotional blackmail to make you not notice that. Part of being an ANCAP or making the leap to being an ANCAP is to recognize emotional blackmail when you see it and to not let it work on you, because a lot of fucking cocksuckers are going to hear this and they're, you hate women. No, I don't hate women. I'm just not going to be emotionally blackmailed by what is obviously bullshit. This is all bullshit. If the governments of the entire planet, all of them put together, who claim to care about people so much, if they put their mind to it, these problems could be solved in 6 fucking months. If I had at my disposal the resources of the United States government, not just all the resources used in the war on drugs, but also remember there's also the resource of the gun in the room. If I had not only the manpower, the vehicles, the logistics, the money, all that stuff of the war on drugs, but also, just like the people who run the war on drugs, if I had the power to kill anybody who opposed me, if I had the power to imprison people who opposed me, if I had the power to confiscate the wealth of people who opposed me, if I had that much fucking power, I could get electricity and clean water to every motherfucker on the African continent in 5 years at the most. And yet, what is the state doing with this power? It's killing its own citizens for smoking marijuana. This is all bullshit. It's all emotional blackmail bullshit. All right, let me wrap this up because we are going way fucking longer than I wanted to. The report repeatedly cites growing economic inequality worldwide, pointing to a recent Credit Suisse study that shows that fewer than 1% of the adults worldwide control 41% of the wealth, while more than two-thirds of the world's adults control only 3% of the wealth. And how much of the wealth is controlled by the state? Again, this is a diversion. This is a emotional blackmail tactic. Look, there's those rich 1%. Let me explain something. I've talked about this before. I'm going to talk about it again. I know, Randy, she wants to kill me because we're... You love me. Stop it. You love this. You have so much fun listening to me rant. Hey, at least I'm staying on topic now. You have not had to remind me to stay on topic, right? Good. Shush. Yeah. Yes. All right. Yes, Mom. All right. Why do the richest 1% control so much wealth? Well, let's see. Let's think about this for a minute. Why do you not have as much money as Bill Gates? Okay. Because Bill Gates figured out how to take a device, a computer, and make it easy for people to use. Bill Gates figured out how to assemble other people to help make computers easier to use. Bill Gates figured out how to bring people together to create the distribution resources and the resources to create and to write and send software all over the planet, which enables people to use computers to do things that make their lives better. Bill Gates did all of that. Bill Gates did these things. And what you do is sit in a cubicle and type numbers into Excel. What you do is you teach English to fourth graders in a country where everybody already speaks English. What you do is you're a social worker. You talk to people about their feelings. See, there's a reason why Bill Gates is rich and why you're poor. Everybody out there, you, me, Bill Gates, in a free market environment, gets paid exactly what they're worth. The amount of money you have is directly proportional to the amount of value you create for other people. Now, of course, the government is exempt from this because the government takes wealth from people via force. It's called taxation and fees and yada, 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 so forth. So we're not talking about the government. We're talking about people who work for a living, right? Those of you on welfare, why are you poor? Because you're not generating value. I mean, yes, you're generating value in the sense that every 2 years you vote Democrat and the Democrats continue to give you welfare payments. But you're poor because you're not creating value. Now, these people in these poor countries, in these third world countries, why are they poor? Well, they have states there. They have governments. Why aren't the governments giving them welfare? Because, first of all, there's no money to redistribute, or at least not enough of it. But also because to create value for somebody else and have an exchange of value. So you build a widget for Bob. Bob gives you money, right? For this to happen, you have to have the resources to build a widget. Bob needs to have the resources to utilize the widget, right? You can't just make a widget out of thin air and you give the widget to Bob. Well, what's Bob going to do with the widget? He's using it to do, most likely, he's using it to do something bigger and better. And then Bob has to have available capital to pay you for the widget. All of this requires a stable economy, an infrastructure, and a social situation in which people want to exchange value for things and have the ability to exchange value for things. So if you look at these poor countries where there's no infrastructure, where they're in states of civil war, where there is unrest, where the government is changing hands all the time, where there are shakedowns and mobs and all this other shit, it's hard to become not poor because in order to sell the widget, you have to have the resources to make the widget. The person you would sell the widget to has to have the resources to use the widget, right? So if you're living in this whatever desert environment where you walk 25 miles uphill to get water and women die in childbirth and you're living in tents or whatever, well, what kind of value for other people can you create in that environment? And that's not to say that they're not creating value. They create a different kind of value in that environment. I mean, production of food, walking uphill to get the water and all that stuff. Okay, I don't want to say they're not capable of creating value for each other because that's obviously not true, but it's a different kind of value. The kind of value you create for, say, example, your neighbor is sick that day, so you walk uphill 25 miles and bring your neighbor water. Okay, that's value. That is definitely value, and it's a good thing to do. And it's righteous and all that other stuff, okay? But that's a different kind of value than writing Microsoft Excel. Because the value of getting water for your neighbor is not something that can be resold. It's not something that can be scaled. It's not something that you can build on over time. And it's not something that can bring in profit in the sense of money, in the sense of capital, in the sense of resources that you can then turn around and reinvest. Whereas if you write Microsoft Excel and you sell it and then you get money and you take that money and you can hire another computer programmer and that programmer could write Microsoft Word and then you sell that and you bring in more money and then you hire somebody to oversee your IT and that person sets up an online store where people can buy your software. And see, that scales. So this isn't to say that people in third world countries can't create value. they can definitely create value, but it's not the kind of economic value that can be scaled, which then subsequently leads to the elimination of poverty. And screeching patriarchy isn't going to solve this. The solution, as should be obvious because I'm an anarcho-capitalist, is fucking getting rid of the state and allowing people to live in an environment where they can begin creating value, the kind of value that creates capital so that they can become wealthier, so that they can raise their standard of living. The report also documents a marked demographic tilt, with much of the industrialized world inexorably aging and the world's youth concentrated in the developing world. Indeed, 90% of people between the ages of 10 and 24 live in the developing world. Yes, in the Western countries, people are getting older, and I'm not going to talk about how that's going to fuck over the younger generations right now, because I'm actually going to talk about that later when we get to our favorite, Obamacare. So I'm going to let that slide for now. Despite. I know, Randy, my brain's starting to hurt. She's making fun of me. Despite plummeting fertility rates and the graying of Europe and East Asia, there has never been a larger generation of young people. That age group accounted for 28% of the global population in 2010 and higher in South Asia and Africa. The needs of these young people, the report emphasized, will have to be central to any development agenda, and not just because of their sheer numbers. What if there was no central planning agenda? Again, the idea, here's statism, this idea, well, we have to centrally plan for all of these people. What if you just leave them alone? I mean, I understand they're going to public schools and public universities, and so they're not very smart. But if you leave them alone, they'll figure out how to run their own lives. They will have to be self-sufficient because they are likely to have fewer children to later support them, and because most of them are in poor countries where education and healthcare are in dire shape, and there are a dearth of what reports call good jobs. So we need more central planning, because these young kids live in these poor countries where central planning has so far not produced adequate health care, adequate education, or good jobs. Well, maybe that's because central planning can't produce education, health care, or good jobs. Maybe that's because those things can only happen in a free society, in a market economy, where people can say, hey, I'm going to provide the service of education, and if you compensate me what it's worth, and I'm going to provide these medical services, and you're going to compensate me what it's worth. And then the person who is healthy and gets an education can go out and say, hey, I'm going to provide this service. I am going to be a plumber, and I'm going to bring running clean water to this village. And people can pay me what it's worth. But of course, we can't have any of that because that's patriarchy, because somebody's making a profit. And from the statist perspective, it's best for these people to live in poverty than for one of these people to make a profit. All right, final paragraph. We can all rejoice now. Those countries, like India and Nigeria, that have a high proportion of young people and declining fertility levels can take advantage of that temporary demographic bonus, the report says, but only if it can educate its youth and offer access to work. again, notice how the solution is always back to the state. The state has to educate the youth. The state has to provide them with work. If they're educated, why have to be provided with work? If they've been educated, shouldn't they be smart enough to go get their own fucking jobs? This whole need of you statist to be taken care of cradle to grave by the state, right? The state should educate you. The state should provide you with health care. The state should make sure you get a job. The state should provide you with retirement. Can you people do anything for yourselves? Can you do anything for yourselves? Can you do anything for yourselves? Or are you going to go through your entire fucking life just screaming patriarchy, 1%? There ought to be a law. Randy, mommy, play the music. Play it. I want the government. Play the music. All right, let's wrap this.